You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Torah tells us that after a major, major tfilas of Yitzhak and Rivka, who seemed up until this point in time, since she was in a kara, could not give birth to children, the Rabbanu Shalom listened to the tfilas of Yitzhak and Rivka as well, and Baruch Hashem, she was pregnant. But the Torah tells us she had a difficult pregnancy. There was a feeling of tremendous movement of the baby inside, and she didn't understand what was causing the baby to move with such violent moves during her pregnancy. And she therefore went for Telach Lidroish Hashem. She realized this was not just a medical gynecological problem, but this was quite obviously some type of phenomenon which the Rabbanu Shalom had orchestrated for whatever divine reason it was. And therefore she went to the local Navi, to Shem Ve'eva, to find out exactly why she's having such birth pangs during her pregnant months. What did the Navi say to her? So the Navi gave the following pronouncement on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yom Hashem lo, Hashem said to her, Shnei goyim bevitnech, there are two nations that are developing inside your stomach, inside your body. Shnei le'umim ma'ayich yiparedu. These two children are not just two different children, but they are going to be the leaders of two different nations of the world. Lu means a nation that has a specific world philosophy. So these children are going to be the head of two different nations on the face of this earth that are going to have two opposite world philosophies of the purpose of this world and the purpose of human beings that are living in this world. And what's going to happen is, Mimaichi Peredu, when they are born, they're going to have two twin boys, each one representing a different future nation that's going to emanate from them. Lo'oy milom yemotz, there's going to be constant friction and competition between the nation of one child and the nation of the other child. But at the end, all the way at the end of time, Rav Yavat Tzair, the older child, will be subservient to the younger child as we come to the end of days, which means the younger child will win in this battle, in this conflict, and the ideology of the younger child will basically serve as the ultimate motif, the ultimate format of what's going to happen in Achris Yomim as the world comes to the completion of that specific period of time. This is the Nevuah that was given. And over here, the Torah tells us that when she basically gave birth, behold, there were twins. The first one who came out was called Esav. He had a very ruddy complexion. His brother came out afterwards, holding on to his heel, and they called his name Yaakov. So Esav and Yaakov, the two twins, were born to Rivka, as was prophesied by the prophet in the name of Hashem. And once again, what the Torah tells us, that ultimately speaking, when the boys grew up and started to mature, Esav was an Ish Yodei Tzayid Issada. He was a man who was a hunter, a man of the field. And Yaakov's basic preoccupation was an Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, a person who was Tam. Tamimus means with spiritual perfection. Tam Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, a person who sat in the tents. And Chazal said It means is the tent of the Torah. So the Torah describes the disposition and the personality traits of Esav and Yaakov being opposite as well, where Esav was a man of the world, he was a hunter, he was a person of the field, involved intricately with the natural law of the universe around him, with the physical phenomenon of the world that Hashem created in the Sheshem Habrashis. Yaakov was a different type of personality. He was perhaps the archetype of what we call today Yeshiva Bachar, who was in his Tamimiskeit, in his spiritual aspiration for perfection, was sitting in the tent of Shein Ve'Ever, imbibing Torah from them, learning Torah from them, and developing his spirituality to the highest level possibly could, involving himself exclusively in spiritual matters as much as he possibly could day and night. It is true that some of Farshim say he also was a shepherd as well. Not only was he busy learning, but primarily most of his time was spent even as a shepherd. Since you don't have to do too much work, he was busy learning and studying Torah as his ultimate activity each and every day of his life. This is the Torah's description of the birth of the two boys, Esav and Yaakov, the twins, that were forecast to her by the prophet in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what I want to spend time on is a very, very famous question, which is posed by Chazal, the Gedolei Achronim, on Rashi's Medrash Halacha that he brings down. The Torah mentioned before that Vayisrotzu Habanim Bekirba, that she felt the boys running around inside her, and she therefore went to find out for Hashem, what is the running about taking place? What is this all about? And Rashi fills in the empty space of what was going through her mind. Because quite obviously, when you have even one child, it can cause you pains during your pregnancy. If you have two children, it surely can cause you pain during this enhanced pregnancy of two little children inside. We know that sometimes the children inside play with each other or fight each other or kick each other, which can cause the mother extra pain. But over here, Rashi brings down in Medrash Chazal that he says requires interpretation, and he brings down two different pshatim of what was the cause of this Vayisrotzu. So he says, pshat number one, that Chazal dash in the lower word Yavayisrozu comes from the word ritza, to run. And what does that mean? Kishahoyse overas a piske terah shal shem ve'ever. When she passed by the bat midrashim of shem ve'ever, the yeshiva, the baby who later became Yaakov, rotz mafachas lotzeis, he wanted to exit her body and start learning in the yeshiva even before he was born. He had already had an atiyah to the spirituality in the Torah emanating from that base medrash. And when she passed by various types of temples of idolatry that existed during her time period, another child, who Rashi identifies as Esav, the Fakas Lotzeis, he tried to get out of her body to participate in the idolatrous activities going on in that idolatrous temple. So quite obviously, their Vayisrotzu over here refers to the effort of the baby inside, one to affiliate with a Beis Medrash of Torah, and one to affiliate with a temple of idolatry. But then Rashi brings a second Peshat, a Dava Acher. What does Misrotzu mean? It means Meirivim. It means it wasn't that they're trying to get out, but it's a lotion of strife and fighting and machlokes, that Esav and Yaakov in utero were fighting about a very important problem. B'nachla Shnei Olamos, the question of the inheritance of the two worlds, what we call Olam Hazeh, this world, Olam Haba, the world to come. Each one wanted both of these worlds as their ultimate inheritance. Each one wanted to have both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. This is what Rashi says by Yisro Tzisum means. So the great Gedolim of yesteryear, come back, for instance, to the Sfas Emes and others like him, ask a very simple question in Rashi's Perish, which they feel makes the problem even worse. They feel there's a little contradiction in Rashi over here. Why? If you're telling me in the first Pshat in Rashi that Esav already in utero had a world philosophy and a feeling in his neshama for idolatrous activities and idolatrous behavior, if that's what he was interested in, and Yaakov already in utero had a desire with his neshama for spiritual learning and spiritual matters when it comes to obtaining the spiritual power of Torah, which was being said in the Beis Medrash, as his mother passed it, and he was able to hear this Torah in his ears, even in utero. As we know, babies can hear things from outside the body, as has been testified by doctors. If that's what their personality traits were, so the question that's posed is, so why was there a fight then, in the second Pshat of Rashi, of the inheritance of this world of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? There was a simple way of resolving their conflict. Since Esav was involved in idolatrous activities and hashkafos and feelings, which are primarily involved with Olam Hazeh activities, worldly activities of the physical world, of the physical nature of the world, and the natural forces, which people of that time worshipped as gods in their own right. We know this for a fact later on when we come to the contemporary periods of Greek and Roman mythology. Idolatry worshipped all different forces of nature, and nature is part of the natural world. If that's what Esau was after and he liked, he should have only wanted Olam Hazeh. He didn't need Olam Haba. He wasn't interested in spirituality. And vice versa. If Yaakov was a man of total spirituality, a man of Torah, that really was interested in spiritual benefits of raising themselves close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world of spirituality, and that's why he wanted to already attend Yeshiva of Shei Ve'Ever and to learn Torah, if that's the case, what did he need Olam Hazeh for? The physical world of the natural world of physical natural forces. What he really was interested in is ultimately to obtain and to be able to get a portion in Olam Haba in the world to come, in the world of total spiritual development, spiritual enlightenment, and ultimate consummate spiritual connection between yourself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, logically speaking, if there are dispositions were totally opposite one from the other, one was an Avodah Zarah man, and one was a Torah man, Esav should have said, I'm going to take Olam Hazeh, and Yaakov could have said, I'm taking Olam Haba. So why were they fighting over the Nachla of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? This is the famous question that many of the Achronim ask in trying to reconcile what seems to be a contradictory statement mentioned by Rashi in his Perish Lachumish on this Vayisro Tzitzu. The answer I'm going to share with you now is given by the Sfas Emes, and what basically speaking he says is going to be the kernel of thought from which I developed the rest of the shiur this morning, and I'm going to base it upon what he does as explaining what was the actual conflict between Esav and Yaakov in utero that caused this entire problem to exist. And the pains Nebuch, which the Torah records, Rivka suffered during her pregnancy. The following is what the Sas Emes explains, was the debate, was the conflict that was causing all of this phenomenon to take place. So listen very carefully. What the Sas Emes says is that, believe it or not, Esav and Yaakov, as he will explain, even though they had different dispositions, as I mentioned before, one was an Avodah Zarah man, one was a Torah man, they still both wanted Olam Hazeh, this world, the physical universe, and they also were interested in Olam Haba, the spiritual universe, on some level. So you're going to ask the question, what was Esav going to do with the spiritual world? And what was Yaakov going to be busy with when it comes to the physical world? Why did they need both? So comes along the Sfas Emes with the following brilliant answer, which is very, very penetrative, very deep, and something which, quite obviously speaking, is going to require explanation and understanding, as I will in the next couple of minutes explain it to you. According to the Sfas Emes, Esav really wanted Olam Hazeh with all the brachos, with all the physical benefits of the natural world in which we live. He wanted to have the ultimate pleasures of every natural physical phenomenon that exists in this world on every level. He wanted to control physical nature, manipulate physical nature, manipulate the physical pleasures of this world on every dimension you could possibly think. But he realized one thing, that for him to do that, he needs somehow to show that he's interested in spirituality and religion in order that he get the brachas that he needs, which later on Yitzhak wanted to give, which would give him an incredible control over all of the bountiful bracha contained in Olam Hazeh, in the physical universe. He wanted that bracha from Yitzchak later on. And Chazal tell us that Yitzchak was not going to give that bracha to an Esav if he was totally secular, totally an idolatrous person that wasn't interested in religion and God. So therefore, he needed the demonstration later on to Yitzchak that he's interested in spirituality as well. He's interested in Olam Haba. Chazal said he was a type of fiv. He used to ask very, very unusual questions, questions showing, or at least appearing, that he had tremendous desires when he was born into this world for spirituality as well. He asked the question, how do you give Trumas and Maisros from straw and salt, even though straw and salt does not require any hafreshes, Trumas and Maisros? But he wanted to show that he's a machmir in halacha, to get the goodwill of Yitzhak, who was a very spiritual person. And therefore, by doing such, since he was the Bechar in birth, get the special bracha Yitzhak was going to give concerning the total accomplishment of having control of all of the physical benefits contained in Olam Hazeh, in the physical universe. So he needed the spirituality represented by Olam Haba, at least on an outward level, in order to get what he wanted, ultimately, total control over Olam Hazeh. For him, the Olam Haba was a means to accomplish getting hold of Olam Hazeh with all the brachas he wanted to get from his father, which would enhance his control and enjoyment of this physical universe. That was the approach of Esav. That's why he wanted Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. For him, Olam Haba was a means to obtain Olam Hazeh. When it comes to Yaakov, however, Yaakov, who was the man of spirituality, the man of Torah, What in the world did he need Olam Hazeh for? He was really a person who was totally desirous of total, complete mastery of spirituality, which would be accomplished in Olam Haba, as Chazal tell us in the various Midrashic and Kabbalistic sources. So says the Sfas Emes, you're making a mistake. When Hashem put man into this world, going back to Adam and Chava, and he took him to a place called Gan Eden, Hashem said to Adam in his tour of the world after he was created, that I'm giving you a mandate, Adam. I'm putting you in this world for two purposes. One is called Avoda, and one is called Shmira. Avodas Olam, Ushmiras Olam, Avdu L'Shamra. In this world, you have to work with the physical world around you. And quite obviously, in your physical activities with the physical universe around you, you're going to be involved in doing something special. You're not only going to be involved in the physical universe, trying to make sure that the physical universe reaches physical perfection by being a shutta by Hashem b'masa b'reishis, as I've mentioned in some of my earlier lectures on this topic, to be a creative partner with God in completing the physical development of the world. But you have a second job, and that is Shamra. I created the world with my holy names. Chazal say, Mistakel b'raisa b'ra alma, Hashem used the divine blueprint of Hashem's holy names in the prehistoric Torah, the Kedusha of those names and the divine power of those names to create the universe, the physical universe in which we exist, which means the physical universe has to have the ability to not only be a physical universe, but it has to be imbued with the concept of spirituality, of ruchnius as well. In fact, in the world, Kedem the Chet, the actual physical universe, in fact, did already contain a very high level of spirituality beneath the surface, besides its physical nature of the physical universe. And God therefore said to Adam, I want you not only to develop the physical world, but l'shamra, to watch and develop and maintain the spiritual essence of the physical universe, that it should be shamra, kept and watched and kept in its proper place, having an impact upon the physical world on the highest spiritual level possible, as I created the world initially with the holy names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, according to the Sfas Emes, Yaakov needed the spiritual world, not only for spiritual purposes, but he needed the expertise in the spiritual world to re-sanctify the physical world that unfortunately was taken away from its total spirituality because of the chet of Adam and Chava. He wanted to return the physical world to a state of intense spirituality, and therefore he was of the knowledge, based upon Kabbalistic sources, that everything in this world, in the physical world, has a spiritual neshama to it, some spiritual essence. When you use that physical element of the world for proper purposes, you bring out the Nitzotzes L'Kedusha, the spiritual essence contained in that physical phenomenon of the world, and you give it its fulfillment, that the physical phenomenon not only serves on a physical level, but it also functions on a spiritual level with which it was created from the beginning of Briyat Olam. That every physical object in this world that we deal with, every food that we eat, every object that we deal with, every type of physical activity that we are basically doing has a spiritual nitzas, a spiritual spark contained inside. And when we use these physical objects in a proper way, in an appropriate fashion for which Hashem wanted us to use the physicality of the world, we not only give the physical world its schuskiyam, a fulfillment as a physical object, were able to extract from this physical object its spiritual essence, the nitzotzes of Kedusha, of Hashem's Kedusha that he gave the world, going back to Briyat Olam. So our purpose as religious people, as Yaakov was, was to sanctify the world, to elevate the physical world, to even give the physical world a spiritual essence besides its physicality. So Yaakov needed Olam Hava, but he needed Olam Hazeh, because one of the purposes of mankind is to spiritually take the world that's physical, imbue it with spirituality, and bring out the sparks of Kedusha contained inside, and give the physical world fulfillment, not only on a physical plane, but on a spiritual plane as well. So Yaakov needed Olam Hazeh and Olam Hava, but he needed Olam Hava as a means and mechanism to give him the power and the knowledge and the capacity to sanctify even the physical world, Olam Hazeh, in which he lived, as long as he lived on the face of this earth. So says the Sfas Emes, if that's the case, to summarize this in a very simple fashion, Esav needed the spiritual phenomenon of Olam Haba to fool his father and get the brachas that he really wanted to totally master and control Olam Hazeh on every level of physical enjoyment, pleasure he possibly could have. Therefore, for him, Olam Haba was a means to get what he really wanted, and that is Olam Hazeh. For Yaakov, it was the reverse. Yaakov really wanted spirituality. He wanted Olam Haba, but he realized to be able to get full Olam Haba when he leaves this world, it's not sufficient only to be involved in the spirituality of spiritual phenomenon, as you are involved when you're learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. But another dimension of which we're judged in Shemayim is, did you take the physical world in which you live and elevate it and sanctify it and take out the nitzotzos of Kedusha that are contained therein to bring the world that's physical even to a spiritual level, the way it was created initially? Were you misakin the world with spirituality when you were still there before you came to the world to come? So therefore, he needed Olam Hazeh as part of his spiritual mission in this world to be able to be zocha, ultimately speaking, not only to cause spirituality to encompass the physical world in which he lived, but also to say to Hashem in Shemayim, I fulfilled my mission, not only in the world of spirituality, but even in the world of physicality, be mekadish the olam, sanctifying the physical world when I was still here. So I was masakin and involved in both worlds, the world of Torah, the world of physicality, giving both a spiritual dimension. So Yaakov therefore needed Olam Hazeh to get even a bigger portion in Olam Haba by fulfilling his mandate as a shut of Hashem b'masa b'reishis in Avedis Olam and Shmiras Olam. Says the Sfas Emes, that's why both Yosef and Yaakov were fighting over having total control of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, because as far as each one was concerned, you needed one to obtain the other. As I said, Esav needed spiritual Olam Haba concepts to obtain full Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh. So he needed Olam Haba concepts, spirituality, to get total Olam Hazeh. And Yaakov needed the concept of Olam Hazeh to be able to get the total concept of Olam Haba in being misakin not only the world of spirituality, but being misakin the world of physicality as he existed on the face of this earth before he went to the world to come. This is why, even though they had different
spiritual activities,
where quite obviously Esa was involved in Avodah Zarah religion, and Yaakov was involved in Torah religion, the functionality of religion in both of these contexts are totally different, and I want to go a little deeper now to explain to you what I mean by this. I already gave a little flavor for this, but I'm going to go very deep at this point in time. In the world of idolatry, and when you look and analyze the idolatrous religions that exist for thousands of years on the face of this earth, it's an interesting phenomenon that people did not only use the physical universe that they could obviously live in, because that's what they really wanted to do. But they felt that they had to give homage and kavod and even deify the physical world in which they live, to worship it as a religion, in order to elicit from the physical universe all the physical pleasures they needed. For them, religion and worship of the physical phenomenon of the world was a way of gaining favor from the gods who were in charge of these physical phenomenon of the world. And for those gods of nature, all the many, many ones that they worshipped, to gain their goodwill and therefore benefit to get all the physical pleasures of the world being granted them by the religious attitude they had toward the gods of nature. So for them, the covet to natural forces as a god was a means and mechanism to get all the physical gashmias of Olam Hazeh they possibly could get. But religion was a means to another end. It was only to be able to get the good graces of the gods of nature, or those who control the natural forces, using religion as a way of sweetening their existence in this world and showing homage and respect. So the reciprocation would be, as an idolater, to be able to have all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh by worshipping and giving homage to the gods of natural law. That was the hashkafa of idolaters for thousands of years. So Esav, as being one of the representatives of that hashkafa, worshipped the gods of nature, which he calls the gods of Olam Haba, of the spiritual universe, to be able to get the physical universe in its entirety, which he was desirous of. That's the way an idolater relates to religion. Religion is a means to get all the physical blessings you want in this world in physicality. And many people who go to temple once a week, church in particular, especially in idolatrous temples, and that one day they pray to their gods who they pray to, so the other 6 days of the week, they can be involved in total secular physical pleasures of the physical world, you have all the physical benefits of the physical world. For them, religion is a tool to get, ultimately speaking, maximum Olam Hazeh. Yaakov, however, was a Talmid Chacham, as we'll see later on. He was a very astute spiritual person, getting as much spirituality he possibly could get from the Rabbeim, the Rosh Yeshivas of his time, Shem Ve'Ever, the yeshiva he learned in for many, many years. And what Yaakov knew was the eke purpose of people in this world, since we're created B'Tzelem Elokim, is to be involved in a spiritual relationship, a spiritual connection, which we call Dveikus, between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom, the creator of the universe. There's no such thing as gods, multiple gods of nature. All of natural law was created by one God, Achdus HaBorei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in heaven. All of natural law is under God's control. We say in Adavin each and every day, Hashem is mechadish b'chol yom tomid ma'aseh bereishis. God each and every day takes the ma'aseh bereishis and makes sure that it continues, the natural law continues to function, to service and benefit mankind every day of the year, 365 days of the year, 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week. The Rabbeinu Shalom is in control of natural law. Natural law is not a separate God, it's a power of God's Chachma that was created in the world to therefore control what happens in the physical universe. But it's not a God. Only God is supposed to be worshipped. And you're not supposed to worship the powers that are part of the natural law. So for Yaakov, he realized only God is the God of the spiritual universe, of the physical universe, of Briyat Olam, that he wants to worship and wants to develop a Dveikus by his learning of Torah, Yom Valayla. But he realized that part of his tachlis in this world, by worshiping God, the control of all of the universe, of all of natural law, is as being a shutta b'Hashem b'maaseh bereishis, he has to take the world that we live in, the mundane secular world, and sanctify it with the sanctity of Torah. Uplift the objects he deals with, uplifts the phenomenon in the physical world he's involved with, and elevate them to a high spiritual plane. If you're a shepherd, you take the animals and you bring them as a sacrifice to God. If you're involved in farming, you produce crops, you use this to make sudos ha-mitzvah, sudos that are mitzvah-oriented, for the purpose of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, which the Avos observed even before the Torah was given, they had sudos. They had a seder. They have a sudos Yom Tov on Shavuos, a sudos Yom Tov on Sukkot. They sat in Sukkot. The Gemara says they were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula before it was given. So they used the physical plants and things that were grown in the ground for sudas mitzvahs, for bris milah sudas, as the Torah says, when it comes to the birth of their children. So therefore they were mekadesh the food used in sudas mitzvahs for spiritual purposes, elevating them to a higher spiritual plane besides their physical existence. Therefore we see, according to this, that for those who are in the world of the spiritual arena of Yaakov, our real aspiration is to be a spiritual personality. And at one time, in pure Olam Haba, we're going to be a total spiritual essence in entirety. But as long as we're in Olam Hazeh, we have to take the physical world and sanctify it in different ways, utilizing it for Avodas Hashem one way or another, elevating everything in the physical world we deal with, and therefore we're mekadesh the olam, the physical universe, through the mitzvahs of Ma'aseh Tovim we do with the physical universe during our lifetime. So therefore Chazal tell us that we need ultimately olam hazeh only as a way of perfecting our spiritual perfection to be davek to Hashem and really get the ultimate olam haba schar, for perfecting the physical world and making it spiritual, as the Ratzon Hashem was from the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis, when he says, La'avdo l'shamra, to be shame of the Kedusha of the physical world I created, going back to Maaseh Bereishis. This was the conflict. This was the machlokes, and this was the actual problem that was causing them to fight over the Nachla Shtei Olamos, even though one was an idolater, and one was an incredible Talmud Chacham, and ultimately Rosh Hashiva in his own right, Yaakov Avinu, who created later on the Shiftei Kah, the 12 tribes of Klal Yisrael that became the mainstay of the Jewish people later on when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah to the end of time. Now, in order for me to demonstrate to you how in the world of Halacha, Yaakov's Hashkafa, when it comes to dealing with physical objects in this world, the world of Gashmias, how we use it for Ruchnias, I'm going to end my shiur today with a very short piece from the Rambam text. This Rambam text I'm going to be reading to you is a text from the Rambam in his compendium, the Mishneh Torah, and this is written in a section of halachas called the halachas of Hilchas Deus, dealing with the hashkafis that we as Jews have to have, Jew and Jewesses, in our activities in this world. So the Rambam tells us that we have to realize that even though spirituality is a very important ideal of Judaism, what we are, basically speaking, not allowed to do is shun the material world in which we exist and only live a life of spirituality. Now, what is that? I mean, give me examples of how a person would attempt to shun the physical world in which we exist. A person decides, the Rambam says, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. I'm not going to drink wine anymore. I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to live in a beautiful, beautiful house. I'm not going to wear beautiful clothing. I'm going to wear sackcloth, live in a shack. And he says, there's a certain irony, certain priests of the idolatrous world used to do this, used to act this way. So the Rambam says, if you basically shun the physical world in which you exist, and you act like an idolatrous priest, you are called a chote, you are a sinner. Now, why are you a sinner? So he says that we are mitzvah from Chachamim, shelo yimna'a adam atzmo, that we are not allowed to literally separate ourselves from things in this world, except from things shemanatu haTorah, only things that God said we should distance ourselves from, are we supposed to distance ourselves from. Hashem said, this object is asa bahano, asa to have pleasure from it, asa to eat, you can't eat this, then we're supposed to, halach l'masa, listen, and not partake of this. However, one thing is for sure, and that is, what however is not prohibited by the Torah, is automatically halacha lamasa, permitted to us by Torah law immediately, without any question, without any shayla whatsoever. Chazal, in fact, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, criticized a Jew who perhaps decides that I'm going to make chumras upon myself and ask upon myself that which is really permissible according to Torah law for the sake of religion, for the sake of religiosity. So he quotes the following Yerushalmi. Lo dayecha masha asra Torah. The Yerushalmi says it's not sufficient that the Torah asks certain things for you. Ela shatar os alecha dvar macherim. But you're now asking upon yourselves other objects, other things as well. That you fast continuously, you don't drink wine, you don't eat meat, and you ask for beautiful clothing and all the other stuff I mentioned before. So the Rambam says this is not derech tova. This is not considered a proper lifestyle that God wants us to live. A person who involves themselves in continually fasting and depriving themselves of physical nutrition is called a chote, is a sinner. In fact, that's why a nazir was called a chote, had to bring a karban chatas after he finishes naziros, because he momentarily denied himself the pleasure of wine and wine products during his nazirut, and this was a sinful behavior, even though he meant it l'shem shemayim, which I'm not going to go into now, but nevertheless, it still was, in the objective reality, something he shouldn't do. Instead of denying himself wine, he should have used wine for sanctified purposes, as we do today, for Kiddush and for other holy purposes. The fact he denied himself, he was a sinner against the natural law and pleasures God gave us. And in fact, the Pasuk says in Koheles, and Shlomo says it, Al ti tzadik harbe, don't be a super tzadik more than you're supposed to. Al tizchan yos, don't think you're a greater chacham than Hashem. Why should you desolate yourself as you exist on the face of this earth? So the Rambam says, if that's the case, what should be my kavana for physical pleasures in this world? And this is going to be the last piece I'm reading here to be the sikum, the ultimate summary of the ideology of Yaakov of needing Olam Hazeh to be able to attain the full portion, a full schar, and full shmir and veikus that he was going to get at Olam Haba. He says the following. A person has to have kavanis, the Rambam says in this Perek Gimel Chazveyas, kol masiv kulam ledas Hashem. All that we do, we should do in order to come to a knowledge and connection to God. When we're sitting, when we're talking, when we get up, everything we do should be done for the sake of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I'm busy doing work to earn a living, I shouldn't just do it just to collect money, but I should try, quite obviously, with the work that I do to earn money, and what am I going to do with this? To buy my needs and necessities in this world, the food, the drink, the house, the clothes that I need, to function as a bekovetik, a person, to pay for brisin, to pay for pidyon habens, to pay for chasenets, to pay, to use the money of my work for very holy spiritual purposes as well. Likewise, ultimately, to be able to build a house and to be able to have money to get married and to marry a woman. And therefore, when I'm busy, likewise, eating and drinking, I shouldn't just do it because I want to have physical pleasure of the food and the drink. What should I do? I should eat and drink that it should cause my body to be healthy, to have the highest level of physical health. Therefore, I should be careful what I eat and how I eat, and only eat things that are healthy for the body, not put in my body things that might cause it to have a opposite dangerous reaction and cause me to become sick, God forbid. I shouldn't eat things that are bad for the body, that can cause sickness. And therefore, Shlomo Melech says, you have to be careful not to overdo in eating and drinking certain things, which quite obviously can cause you to get sickness unnecessarily and therefore undermine your physical existence in this world. Everything you do should be for one purpose. It should be for the purpose of physically enhancing your existence in this world on every level, and it should be done that you should come closer to God. So says the Rambam as he finishes off his explanation over here. He says that if that's the case, what I want to therefore teach you is the following. That when you use the physical world in which you exist, and you use the physical world to facilitate your physical existence and your spiritual existence, Hamahalach b'derech zu is considered oyved Hashem tamid, as if you're worshiping Hashem continuously. Even when you're involved in physical activities of doing business or eating and drinking, you're doing it for the ultimate purpose of doing avodas Hashem in this world. Even when you're sleeping, it's to get enough sleep that your body should rest and be relaxed, so your body will have the energy it needs the next day to do what you have to do when it comes to the physical universe in which we live. You shouldn't get sick. You should be able to be Ovid Hashem and worship Hashem with total health. All of this activity of avoiding sickness and maintaining your health by proper attitudes of dealing with Olam Hazeh is an avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what is the pasuk that commands us to act this way? Sivuchan va'amru, kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. All that we do in this world should be done for the sake of heaven. And Shlomo said in his Chachman, Sefer Mishlei, b'chol dorechecha de'eyu, you should know God in all the ways in which you go. Hu yash archesecha, he will make sure your pathways are straight and clear. Which means, as the Rambam paskins in the Shulchan Aruch later on in Aruch Chaim quotes the Rambam, by using the physical universe that we live in to enhance our physical existence, to maximize our health and our koach and our energy, so that ultimately speaking we should have tremendous power to be involved in spiritual matters of learning and doing mitzvahs and be involved in tremendous activities of Avodas Hashem, you're sanctifying even the physical activities you do in this world and make them kodesh, make them holy as well, because you're using every physical act that you do as a form of coming closer to Hashem. All your activities are being done l'shem shemayim. You're infusing the physical phenomena of this world with spiritual nitzotos kedusha. You're elevating the food, you're elevating your activities at work, everything that's being done with Shem Shamayim to help facilitate your spiritual life and physical and spiritual activities. You're giving them a divine purpose. It's all part of a unique Avodas Hashem. If you do everything in this world, therefore, with Shem Shamayim for the sake of heaven, you take the Olam Hazeh and you raise it as a prelude, as a preparation, for you to then be able to go to Elam Haba and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was massacring your world not only on a physical plane, but on a spiritual plane, and therefore I'm coming to you in a case of total tikkun haworld, in a avodas ha'olam and a shmiras ha'olam. This was the Mahalach of Yaakov Avinu. This was the Hashkafa of what he wanted, Shtei Olamos. He needed Olam Hazeh and the Tikkun of Olam Hazeh to get the proper portion and proper credit when it comes to going to Olam Haba. This is the Hashkafa of Klal Yisrael that we have as a tradition going back from generation to generation. And I'm going to end with a very famous Gemara to show an example of this. So listen to me very carefully. Chazal tell us that in Jewish history, one of the most successful individuals who was successful not only with Ruchnius, but was successful also in his Gashmius, was a person whose name was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. This person was the official redactor of what? Of the Mishnayos of Tevel Shel Bar Peh. He was a major Torah personality in giving Torah Shel Peh even a written form, which became the Shas and the Talmud Yerushalmi and Talmud Bavli we have today, were based upon the Mishnah and the Torah that was taught by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He was a major personality in the transmission of Torah to Klal Yisrael for generations to come. Now, Chazal tell us this Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, besides being an incredible spiritual person, having great Talmidim, incredible Talmidim, he was also one of the richest Jews of that time. He was so rich that they compared his riches to that of Antoninus, the Roman emperor who was his contemporary. In fact, Antoninus was so respectful of Rebbe, and he looked upon him as a peer when it comes to his wealth. He wanted to also get spirituality training from Rebbe, and Rebbe quietly, secretly, used to give Antoninus spiritual lessons in spirituality, because Antoninus felt tremendous influence for how a rich man like Rebbe can therefore have his life dedicated with all of his physical and monetary assets to be able to use them for spiritual purposes as well, to relate to the God of the universe. There's the whole Gemaras which discuss the secret meetings they had between each other that the members of the Roman Empire in the Jewish world didn't know at the time of their special meetings. Now, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, if you want to know how rich Rebbe was like Antoninus, they were the only two people in the world that without refrigeration were able to get the rarest vegetables that were available at that time, that without refrigeration you had to have a steady supply of these vegetables, because within a day or so they would rot, that only on the tables of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi and on the table of Antoninus were they able to have these rare vegetables 12 months a year, despite the fact there was no refrigeration or way to keep them fresh. So the obvious phenomenon is, we see from this, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, not only did he have the entire spiritual world of Torah at his fingertips, but he also had the rarest forms of Gashmi's pleasures in this world as part of the result of the financial wealth that he possessed. So the Baalei Tosfos, and we're going to end with this, asks a kasha from the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Kuf Dalet. The Gemara tells us that on the day that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, before his neshama left his body, he took his fingers and pointed them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, it's known in front of you that when I was on the face of this world, I was not nena even a pinky's worth of my physical wealth and pleasures that I was able to get a hold of. I was not nena them from them whatsoever. So the Baalei Tosfos asked the question, what's going on over here? How can Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi say this declaration before he died? He didn't even have a pinkle's worth of pleasure of the physical pleasures of this world. If the Gemara of Avodah Zarah already said that his table was full of the special, unique, rare, sensitive vegetables 12 months a year, no other human being besides Antoninus of Rome was capable of this. So he had the rarest pleasures of the rarest vegetables 12 months a year. He had that hana, that pleasure. So how can you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wasn't benefiting even from a pinky's worth of pleasure, of these pleasures, as I lived in this world? How do you reconcile these two statements? So I'm going to end with the following reconciliation of the Vilna Gaon and end my share with what the Vilna Gaon says. What the Vilna Gaon says, the answer to this question and this quandary is the Rambam text I just quoted to you and the interpretation of Yaakov Avinu of Olam as Olam Abo, which I mentioned going back to the beginning of my lecture today. The basic concept of Rebbe was that even though I might have had the rarest physical pleasures on the face of this earth, I wasn't eating or participating in these physical pleasures for the sake of pleasure in Olam Hazeh. I ate these vegetables because I needed them for my health. Rebbe had a gastrointestinal problem. And these vegetables helped his gastrointestinal problem to be healed. So he should have full power to worship Hashem and do Avedas Hashem 24/7 with full energy and power. And his intestinal tract would not be an impediment because he's eating vegetables which help maintain his intestinal tract, even though they're the rarest things, that his Avedas Hashem should be enhanced by his physical health, which he got by eating this food. Since Hasakavana, having this food, was to enhance his physical health, to do his Avedas Hashem and learning and teaching Torah, and doing spiritual activities of spirituality, he made his physical objects, the vegetables, into holy objects of Avedas Hashem, as the Rambam said. His Kavana was L'Shem Shemayim. Not only was his Ruchnius, but even his Gashmius was Ruchnius, as the Rambam says, and as Sfas Emes interprets the Kavan of Yaakov Avinu. So even though his table is full of these rare vegetables 12 months a year, before he passed away, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me all of this, but God will give testimony that I never had pleasure for the sake of all these rare foods I had, for just having pleasure from this world to be a nene for Olam Hazeh, for the sake of Olam Hazeh. That God will give Eidus. Whatever pleasure I had in Olam Hazeh was to give me kayach that I should be able to have Olam Haba by using them for spiritual power sources for my physical body. That for everything I had in this world was that of Ruchnius. I didn't have any Hanav for personal Olam Hazeh purposes, just for Olam Hazeh purposes. That's how the Vilna Gaon reconciles Rebbe's two statements. And therefore, since his whole machshava was for L'Shem Shemayim, as the Rambam says, Kol Masecha L'Shem Shemayim, and B'chol Derechecha Dereuchu Yashu Derechecha, he said to Hashem, I'm leaving this world with a total spiritual agenda. Not only was my spirituality, but even my Gashmius was spirituality, and with that he left this world and he went to Olam HaEmes. This is the legacy which Rashi quotes, emanates from Yaakov's Hashkafa. Rashi, in fact, connects Rebbe's attitude to Yaakov's Hashkafa in his Meriva on two Olamos with Esav. I brought the whole picture together. This is the way we're supposed to deal with Olam HaZeh as a means to enhance and literally bring us to a higher level of Olam Haba, to mekadosh the world in which we live. That's our tachlis, that's our purpose. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, the kedusha mitzvos, shemekadosh the spiritual and physical world, mekadosh us. Let's hope and pray that when we do mitzvos, every mitzvah, even physical mitzvahs of eating, we do it with Shem Shemayim, and we're able to make the declaration that Yaakov made, and ultimately Rebbe made, as we go from this world to the next world. Everybody have a wonderful day. Be matzliach in all that you do. And Hashem should give us the brach to do everything we do l'shem shemayim in good health and with total koach and with the actual financial capacities to accomplish this.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.